currently 46 degrees in Bedford, 51 in Lynchburg, 48 in Salem and Danville, 47 in Roanoke.
All right.
You know, we have had some unlikely heroes stepping up during the Biden administration with a voice of reason, for sure. One of them that has pleasantly surprised me has been Bill Maher.
Right.
He has had, there have been several moments where he has pointed out and been a voice of reason to the Democrats, many policies of which he does agree with. But he says, you know, this whole cancel culture and attack on freedom of speech has just gone way too far.
Agreed.
Apparently, he he had an interview with Cuomo on his show on MSNBC, or no, CNN, excuse me, talking about the controversy surrounding Dave Chappelle's Netflix stand-up special. Critics decried Chappelle as transphobic over remarks he made in the episode. Bill Maher defends him and says everyone needs to Netflix and chill the out. Yeah, that's his theory. So during yesterday's interview, Cuomo kicked off the discussion, immediately going negative, as he does, by claiming that Chappelle has a long history of going after trans people. Did you know that?
I didn't know.
No, I know. Shocking.
Didn't know it.
Adding that homophobia is not much of a push against him as what he says against trans people.
Interesting.
Maher, who declared himself Team Dave, pushed back at Cuomo's premise of the conversation when he was talking to him. Here's a little bit from that interview.
Well, I defended him. I'm Team Dave.
Why?
And free speech. Well, first of all, you say going after. You use terms like homophobia. I was speaking recently about phobia. There's a word that's traveled quite a bit from its original meaning. A lot of mission creep on that word, phobia. It's become really just a way people, a word they use to say, I don't like something.
That's right. It's not a fear.
Phobia means an irrational fear. You know, spiders, arachnophobia. You know, you have an irrational fear. Okay, germophobia. I see all the hand sanitizers here. To me, that would be germophobia.
But those are only for shaking hands with me.
I see.
Yeah, for
which
real.
I never was worried about, and still I'm not.
I would be.
He's not afraid of homosexuals.
Right.
Or it's not transphobic. It's that this trans stuff is very new. I don't think he or myself or any other, again, right-thinking person thinks there aren't such things in the world as people who are trans, who are born in a body that doesn't align with what their brain is telling them. That's okay. But now we're talking about children. It's interesting. Someone I know, a woman in her 40s, said to me somewhat recently at a dinner party that when she was a kid, she was what they used to call a tomboy. Said, I never was interested in wearing a dress. I only wore pants until I was like 14 or 15. She said, if I was around today, they would have made me into a boy here in California.
And it's true. It's 100% true.
I had some tomboy friends.
I was a tomboy. I was like I am now. I could be a tomboy or I could be ultra feminine. I could go out and in my jeans and my cap and play ball. And I would come in and cook dinner with mom. I would roll around the mud and catch crawdads, and then I would come in and do my hair. And I mean, you know,
right?
But that's absolutely true. And I've always wanted to like Bill Maher, but sometimes he would just say stuff that I'm like, dude, come on.
Right.
But right now he may be the only voice of reason on some of these mainstream TV shows. And frankly, I'm surprised they put him on there, aren't you?
Yeah, because, I mean, he's been very vocal on his own show.
Oh, 100%.
And I wanted to see him try to ramp. I wanted to see Cuomo try to ramp him up, because I think Cuomo knew, well, I have somebody of equal argumentative skills, you know, because a lot of times Cuomo has these folks on there that are just yes men and yes women to his viewpoint. And here we've got somebody, what I would call Bill Maher, a classic liberal. Yes, they believe in liberal things, but they also...
Some liberal things.
Right, right.
Yeah.
They but he also understands hard truth too, and he's not afraid of expressing that. And I mm-hmm. think classic liberals tend to do that.
Oh, and he also pointed out in this interview, which I encourage you to watch it if you get a chance. But he said Mario Lopez, who was one of the kids on Saved by the Bell,
yes,
and is homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
He said Mario Lopez almost was canceled for suggesting that maybe 3-year-olds shouldn't be deciding their gender.
Yeah.
This is not crazy stuff that makes you a bigot. It's
absolutely
just not.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, and I guess why I'm surprised they even let Bill Maher on, is you've got these other shows who are, much like our city council on the Hill City, are saying that they're, one thing when they're actually something else. There's a new person on The View.
On The View. Her name is Tara Settmayer. She's the new guest host on The View.
Called a conservative.
Right.
They refer to her as a conservative voice on The View.
And she is high up the food chain at the Lincoln Project, which has been in all kinds of trouble here lately.
Is that conservative?
No.
Tell me what
conservative
values.
So anti-Trump that they helped Trump not get elected. These were rhino Republicans, and they helped get Joe Biden in the White House.
Yeah.
Because they hated Trump. They made it very clear they hated Trump. As a matter of fact, what's his old advisors, the blonde lady? Oh, geez.
Kellyanne
Conway's husband was one of the chief spokespeople and so on for the Lincoln Project. We know how much he hated Trump.
Oh, yeah.
So they've got this lady, Tara Settmayer, a black woman. She is the new conservative voice on The View, which is, that's hilarious to me, because there's nothing conservative about the Lincoln Project.
It's very interesting, though, isn't it?
So they're making their quota by getting in, another female voice, and she's black and she is conservative, supposedly,
right.
And now everything's okay. Because it takes 4 liberals on that View to fight against 1 conservative anyways. That's always been interesting to me.
Hmm.
But,
okay.
Yeah. So, we'll see what happens.
It is a National Use Less Day. We've been talking about that today.
How about we use less?
I've been...
The View?
Yeah, really. I don't watch The View. But,
yeah, neither do I.
All right. But so we thought we would do some of our, life hacks geared towards that.
Sure.
One of the ones that I really didn't think about it that much. Did you know that one of the major additions to the landfill is paper towels and napkins?
No.
I didn't. I thought they broke down clearly more than they actually do.
Right.
So they're saying, we need to use less of those.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they're encouraging people to do is go back and embrace the good old-fashioned dishcloth.
Yeah, rag.
Yeah, just use where you would use a paper towel, go ahead and use the dishcloths.
Right.
And then toss them in the washer, and there they are.
And they're done.
To use
right.
again. I'm trying to be better about that, because I'm bad about just grabbing a paper towel,
right.
Clorox wipe, doing that. And of course, we know the wipes don't break down.
Sure.
As well.
Yeah, well,
I'm going to try to do better.
We learned that yesterday from our guest, Lily.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
If you didn't get a chance to hear that, it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, go to our SoundCloud page by typing in SoundCloud. Go there and type in The Morning Jam on VTRN. Type in yesterday's date, and the interview with her will come up. She's here. She was here from Lynchburg City Water Resources, and just did a great time. She was a lot of fun.
She was a lot of fun.
And she gave us a couple bags. We're encouraging people actually to go out and grab those bags. And I think our next caller may have been one of those people. By the way, our phone number is 866-916-3776. Wanting to talk about water, is this guy? I'm not so sure.
Janet Ma, get salty.
Hey, Salty.
Morning.
Good morning. Oh, my gosh, Janet. You and Mark, I swear y'all get me to do the craziest things.
Okay.
We get you to do the craziest things?
Yeah. Like what?
I mean, I left work a little bit early yesterday, head down there to the Parks and Rec down there in Lynchburg to get me my, I don't even know what to call it, the survival kit for the drain so we don't clog them up.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Enjoy the feast and save the grease.
Exactly.
I think that's what it is.
I think so.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
listen, I got me that bag back to the house.
Yeah.
And I was kind of I should have looked at it before I left because I got questions.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Uh-huh. Yeah, we got ours yesterday, too. What's your question?
Yeah.
So all I figure is that I got me a new funnel to change the oil in my truck.
Oh, boy.
And I got me a new ice scraper. Yeah. And we got a new lid for the dog food.
Yep.
And then some kind of a big old coaster to put the coffee pot on.
Oh, no. So the funnel is not to change your oil. Well, I mean, save the grease. So when Miss Salty fixes your bacon in the morning.
He saves his bacon.
Or if you've got any, like if you cook your turkey and you've got grease left over from that, you use the funnel to put the grease into to a can.
Mm-hmm.
The thing you think is an ice scraper helps you scrape everything out, you see.
Yeah.
And then you use that. And then the little lid, after you empty the dog food can, you can put the grease in there, and then you can put the lid on there, and it keeps it from getting yucky.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Well, I need to put new, because it's wintertime, I'm winterizing my truck, you know, there last evening, because I have me a new funnel. I done put that antifreeze down that funnel.
No.
Is that contaminated?
I think it probably is.
A little bit.
That probably is contaminated.
God.
Maybe you can clean it out really good.
I think.
I'm not sure.
Gosh.
This is too much for him, I think.
But I don't know. I'm just so confused right now. That's not why I called.
Really?
I mean, it's why I called, but I got other reasons I called.
Okay.
Because you were saying at the beginning of the show today that it was a National Use Less Day. Is that right?
That's right. It is. It's National Use Less Day.
Unfortunately.
So, you know, being good stewards of things, so to speak.
You want boxes or briefs, Mark?
Boxes or briefs?
Well, you know, they asked Bill Clinton that question. He had it.
Really?
Well, we don't even want to know. Because, you know, he turned his underwear in to the Salvation Army for the tax write-off. Who's going to have Billy's underwear? I have no idea.
Are we getting on underwear?
Slow down, Salty.
What's that?
How are we? Why are we talking about underwear?
My way to save water to help the city is talking. He gets three uses, you see, out of his underwear, out of his briefs.
Three uses.
Oh,
wow.
Oh my. So you get three days?
Well, I get 3 days out of them. You know, I used to wear boxers and all, Janet. But you know, let's just put it this way. My boys need to stay close to home, and the boxers don't do that for me. If you know what I'm saying.
Oh,
TMI.
Okay.
But anyway, let me get it. I got to run here, but I'm real quick going to tell you how I get 3 days out of
good
my
time
briefs.
To bail out.
See, I wear them regular way with the tag on the inside, and then the next day I wear them with the tag on the outside.
Okay.
And then I give it a day to rest, you see.
A day of rest.
And I hang them up in the closet, let them air out for a day, and then I flip them back over with the tag on the inside or get my third day out of it. I was just I'm frugal, but I'm not so frugal to get 4 days and try to flip them around again.
Right, yeah. You don't want to fly too close to the sun, that's for sure. As always, it's been educational.
It sure has.
No doubt about it. Maybe I'll get you some new. Maybe
Janet,
we need.
I'm always learning. I'm always learning from you, Mark. I gotta go. Thank you so much for just giving us all this information.
Yeah.
And Salty always wanted to help. You know, a little bit. You guys have a good one.
He's a man of the people.
You know, I would say we could offer to get him some of those new boxer briefs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or they'd be new to him.
Sure.
But I have a feeling he's probably, you know, more of an underwear purist.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I'd rather not think about it, actually.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Absorbent and yellow and porous is he?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Ready? SpongeBob SquarePants! SpongeBob SquarePants!
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
Wow, we're getting some interesting comments about Salty there. Hmm. That's something I can't put on the air.
Right. Randy says, life hack for Salty, line your briefs with newspaper. They get the dailies, not the weekly circular. You guys are... Do not encourage him.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, Lordy.
Yep.
And Bear said to tell him the real men go commando. No, they do not.
No shoes, no shirts, no underwear.
I know.
No problem.
Bear, no problem. Not for Salty. Oh, wow. You gotta love it. You just gotta love it. Mm-mm-mm. All right.
724.
It is 724. And our text number is 434-248-0704. I want to especially thank, I came in this morning, mm-hmm. and we had several people who had sent us texts about right. Come to the Table Tuesdays.
Yes. Yeah, I saw that last night one came in.
Right. We had more than one come in.
Did we?
Overnight.
Wow, that's awesome.
So we have that coming up on Tuesday. Okay. If you're not familiar with it. One of the things that we really encourage around here is, you know, let's talk it out. We might sure. not always agree,
right?
But let's talk it out. And so we started this on Tuesdays because we've been apart so much, especially with work. Everybody's
oh, yeah.
working remotely.
Yeah.
Like you don't even know the people you're working with sometimes. Yeah. It's been so long. So we're starting Come to the Table Tuesdays with Honey Baked Ham mm-hmm. and with the help of Harvest Baptist Church on Carter Street in Lynchburg
yeah.
because they do that campaign. Mm-hmm. It's time to be kind.
Yeah.
Now more than ever, it is time to be kind.
Yeah.
So if you will text us at 434-248-0704, just tell us, you know, who you are and where you're working and how many employees you have, up to 10.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to treat you to lunch
yeah.
from Honey Baked Ham. And let me tell you, that's a good lunch.
That's good stuff. There's no
Very
doubt.
Good.
There's good stuff. Yeah.
And, of course, with the holidays coming up, mm-hmm. Honey Baked Ham is the place to go.
Yep.
If they'll hook you up and get you going.
Mm-hmm.
So just text us and get in the running. Once you've texted in or sent us an email, you can do that, too. yourmorningjam@gmail.com.
Yep, exactly.
If you send us that, we'll get you in the running and we'll draw out another winner. We had a winner this week from Holiday State Park.
Yep.
Had a ranger
yep.
send it in.
Yep.
So
we were talking about Smokey earlier.
We were.
Wearing the hat and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Smokey the Bear.
That's right.
Who's your favorite Smokey the Bear? I think Sam Elliott is my favorite Smokey the Bear voice.
Sam Elliott's my favorite everything voice. I mean, if I'm being honest.
Right. I gotcha.
I mean, that's like... You know, come on.
Sam Elliott, I haven't talked much about this, but there is a prequel to Yellowstone, and Sam Elliott is in it, and Tim McGraw is in it.
Really?
Tim McGraw plays one of the main characters, and Tim McGraw, I didn't realize, back in the old days, now we make our beards, customize our beards.
Sure.
These guys that have hairy faces, it goes way up their cheekbone. That is Tim McGraw, and I did not know that about him.
Really?
It does not look like him.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Yeah, I think it's called 1783 or something. It's a number. It's the year.
Okay.
And it's the prequel to how the Duttons got into the state of Wyoming or Montana, wherever.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
I didn't know.
And Faith Hill is in it as well.
What?
Yes.
That is craziness.
It was all under the radar. People didn't even know this thing was being filmed.
And what is it?
I'll have to look it up. I think it's called 1783.
Okay. Yeah,
and it's got
to look that up.
Tim McGraw. And it's, let me tell you, it's...
Because, you know, he did really well in mm-hmm. In The Blind Side.
Yeah, The Blind Side. He did a great job as the dad. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, something else that's interesting, you know, I had a big old buck in front of me this morning uh-huh. on the way in.
Right.
We are full on in the rut where we are
okay.
right now. They are in the mood for love.
Right.
And they are moving. So you guys need to be careful as you're heading to work. So here's something else that I think is really interesting. I did not know this. Did you know that deer mm-hmm. get COVID-19?
Did not know that.
I didn't either.
Wow. We've heard of like pets and stuff can get it.
Yeah. COVID-19. Has been found in deer, and that has some experts concerned. Researchers are currently trying to determine if the coronavirus can spread between animals,
right?
Or could it someday lead to a new mutation that could spill back to people?
Interesting.
It's estimated that with the buck gun season that's just started, it started on Monday.
Yeah,
it will put an estimated 250,000 hunters in the woods throughout West Virginia alone. And state officials say they'll kill between 35,000 and 40,000 deer.
Okay.
Which has to happen to try to keep. And even that, it's still overly done. A study published this month found that a third of the deer tested in an Iowa study showed evidence of COVID-19 infection. Mm. That is really interesting.
Yeah.
So they're going to be, they say it's going to provide additional opportunities for surveillance and research across the country. They say it's completely safe to eat venison.
Okay.
They did say, however, that hunters should consider using gloves. They might perhaps want to use a mask this year, make sure they wash their hands, but that's, they should be doing that anyway.
Sure.
So he said the buck season research won't be focused on COVID-19, but the chronic wasting disease. We've talked about that here on the show.
Yeah.
So if you see evidence of those things, you do need to report it. Okay. It's important.
I was off by 100 years. It's 1883. Thank you. Thank you, Mark, and another listener checking in, letting me know that. I'm going to play the commercial for you. I'm going to listen to it during the break here just to make sure there's no language. I wouldn't think they'd put language in the teaser, but
with
these guys,
nowadays,
the way they dropped the F-bomb in the current Yellowstone
even
show.
Even in 1883, though?
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully.
They said, dang!
The manners were a little bit better then. One can only hope.
Yeah. It is 7:31 almost, and we have Kimberly McBroom coming up. Also, Trey Watkins is supposed to come by the studio and say hi and check in on a few stories. We'll do that coming up. It's Life Hack Thursday, and it happens to be Mike Burstein's birthday. If you see Mike today, pinch him on the cheek, the right cheek, and tell him it's from me. I don't care which cheek you choose. It could be the one above his shoulders or below his waist.
Oh, wow. And currently, we have 50 degrees in Lynchburg, 46 in Bedford, 49 in Danville, 48 in Roanoke, and in Salem.
So you were talking about the deer a little while ago having COVID-19. I'm just wondering how they, obviously they're testing probably deceased deer, maybe,
right,
because I can't see them doing the cotton swab thing with
well, I mean, sometimes,
living deer.
Sometimes with animals, they'll tranquilize them,
test them. That would
or
work.
Or tag them. You know, they do that with bear a lot, and I'm sure they could do it with the deer.
Our listener bear? He's been tagged?
Well, maybe.
If you tagged bear, what would you tag him?
Would I tag him?
Yeah.
Would tag him a Renaissance man.
Yeah, okay.
He is a Renaissance man, no doubt. Much like I used to call Salty a Renaissance man, but after that underwear fiasco, I don't know. I'm very concerned.
Sounds like he's just cheap.
I know. He just doesn't want to. Although I have a nightshirt from when I was in high school.
Do you?
I still have it.
Yeah, Kara's got some shirts that go way back to high school. Just, what was that, 5 years ago?
Yeah, really.
Anyway.
Pervert. Anyway. All right, got some local headlines for
That's
you.
Right.
South Boston Police Department struggling with a shortage of officers, as many communities are.
Mm-hmm.
That's happening nationwide. Says we're starting to get really concerned about our calls for service and, of course, our reaction time and our delivery time to our constituents, the chief of police for the town of South Boston said. The South Boston Police Department serves about 10,000 residents.
Mm-hmm.
On an average day, they receive 20,000 service calls a year.
Wow.
Staffing shortage is weighing on the department. Full staff is about 30 officers, but the department is down to 3.
Jeez. Holy cow.
Young says several times a month there are only 2 officers working 12-hour shifts.
Mm-hmm.
That's 2 people covering 12 square miles and about 10,000 residents, he says.
Wow. That's...
Officers answering the call of duty also receiving a lot of mandatory overtime. We have some that do that quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Young points to several reasons behind the shortage, some retiring. He also says there's just less interest in the profession.
Yeah.
Due to the vilifying of it by political.
Yeah, why would you want to go into some, it's hard enough to begin with, and then you've got the culture against
you. One of my sons was interested in that field, and now zero interest in it. Because of, you know, I mean, people are literally targeting them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, murdering and ambushing them, calling in certain, like there's a skirmish going on, but there really isn't.
Well,
and then
they
get ambushed.
But if you're in the South Boston area, I mean, I would hope there would be less of that
right,
there.
Right, sure.
They are looking for a few good men and women, and they say that they do have a pay increase for incoming officers that is pretty recent. They are starting at $40,000. They also offer incentives like bonuses and college to retain the officers that they have. And he says they've got the right equation to get them headed in the right direction, but they just need some new recruits.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned the whole COVID thing in the deer because we have a story out of Roanoke Libraries offering free at-home COVID-19 tests. The Virginia Department of Health is partnering with 18 libraries across Virginia to distribute these free tests, and it's the COVID-19 antigen at-home test kits. Tests will be distributed curbside, and residents are required to wear face masks when picking up the kits. Those who are experiencing signs of COVID-19 symptoms must have a family member there on their behalf. And the following locations are the Main Branch, Melrose Branch Library, Belmont, Williamson Road, Gainsborough Branch Library, and then the Raleigh Court Branch Library are those libraries in the Roanoke area. 434-534-8500 is our local number. Toll free anywhere, 866-916-3776. I'm told to go to the phone lines. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey Jill.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Wow, it's good to hear your voice.
Well, it's good to hear. I now am an alpaca farmer, so I'm trying to figure at 66. I'm still waiting for the, you know, the coffee, TV, chocolate bonbons or stuff. you know, it says there's no rest for the wicked. I'm still trying to figure out what I did that was so bad. So, you know, but good life. Very, very thankful. But, you know, this thing about the police department, they knew this was going to happen. Why would a person, a young person, who's going to assume and not get paid a lot, assume the risk of such a highly rated jobs when people are disrespecting police, they have to be 100% perfect, or they could very well be sued. They're trying to get it so that they can be sued for everything, and they have to be 100% perfect in a moment, an emergency notice.
Yeah.
In order, and if they don't, they can lose their life. They can go to prison. They can lose everything that they have. Now, do the math. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out this is not a good idea.
Right.
And then it makes me wonder about the people who do want to go into it.
You know, right, what their motivation.
They are, you know, and it's just sad, but this is so we can get to federal things. They do not care about the people. When they say defund the police and everything else, the reality is the very people they say they are protecting are the very people who are hurt the most. When you see the ramifications of what they do, you can see that's not the goal.
Yeah.
And so that's really sad, whether it's from the local or whether it's to the federal. So, I mean, we have to be our own responsible for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
No one's, you know, the cavalry is not going to come, get down and start working for yourself. Get out, get up, put your big girl, big boy pants on, and become an adult at any age. And I'm amazed at how many people don't even think of that. You know, they automatically want to go. The cavalry is not always going to come.
Right.
And we got to be okay with that. It was never designed. This country was not designed to do that. It was designed to protect our rights, ironically, from the government.
Right.
Yeah. And now we know why.
Exactly. And, you know, when you were talking about the napkins and the paper towels and things like that, I've been doing that for a long time. Simply because the fact that I said, what did they do? I always ask myself, what did they do before paper towels?
Right.
What did they do before things like that? And I'm finding I get a lot more out of cloth napkins and things like that. And rags. My kids laugh at me at all the rags. And I will tell them that I'm conscious of the environment and things like that. But they know it's kind of tongue-in-cheek. Well, that's the truth. The bottom line is that I'm just cheap. That's it. But I put a good face on it, and everybody's proud of me.
There you go. I love it.
So hey, have a good day, guys.
Yeah, you too. Don't be a stranger. We love hearing from you.
Everything old is new again, isn't it?
Jill checking in. Yeah, really. Yep.
It's so funny to me when you see somebody, like a new parent, and they're like, oh, we're using cloth diapers. Like, it's this big noble thing. Right. I'm like, oh, this has been around for years.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
But But good for you. I'm glad, you know, because there's a lot of waste that comes with that, for sure.
Checking in with us right now in the studio, Trey Watkins. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
You doing all right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Well, good.
So what did you think about Jill's comments about how the Calvary isn't coming and we've got to learn to buck up and protect ourselves?
Yeah, I think it highlights the importance and the how crucial it was for Youngkin to win that race, mm-hmm. to protect our Second Amendment rights. I think, you know, building up safety and within our communities is part of his agenda. I think that'll definitely help. I'd be feeling very hopeless had Terry McAuliffe won that election. So.
Yeah.
We all got to pat ourselves on the back a little bit this morning.
Well, I hope.
You know, but we still got a lot of work to do.
Well, there's a lot of work to do. Can't rest on the laurels.
Yeah,
and we have to pray that these other states are going to wake up as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, it really has highlighted the importance there's like a power shift. You know, I mean, being governor of a state has always been an important thing, but mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's ever been more important in modern times. If you know, I'm young, so I'm still catching up on some of the history. But as far as I can tell, man, you know, a governor's race at this point is very crucial. But you know, safety is very important. I spent a lot of years in Baltimore, and I had never put safety at the top of my priority list in terms of things I thought were like the most important, you know, mm-hmm. I had like mm-hmm. education and all these other things is how I ranked them. It wasn't until I was in Baltimore where I realized that safety is by far the most important thing.
Yeah.
I worked with children who couldn't focus on doing work because they were afraid, you know, for their lives.
Yeah.
They didn't feel safe.
That's just...
Yeah, you know, it's because things can get that bad.
Right.
You know, when you don't have enough police officers, when you don't have, you know, when you call 911 and no one's answering the phone, mm-hmm. you know, things can get a whole lot worse. And I've been saying this for a year. You know, we're headed, unfortunately, we're headed in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got, I think you were talking about South Boston, but Lynchburg, I know, is down almost 30 officers.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's only a few officers that's in the academy. It's not a good equation.
Mm-mm.
Well, and the headlines show it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
We see it.
Records.
It's record-breaking homicides, and, I mean, it's kind of scary.
Yeah,
and unfortunately, I think that it's going to get a lot worse. Before it gets any better, because right now we just don't have a way. And I think that economically, with the inflation and gas prices and everything just getting so expensive, I hope I'm wrong, but I really think that this is only the beginning of that hurt mm-hmm. and struggle. And that we're in for a rough 2022, because there's no signs that the federal government is going to pivot.
Right.
They're never going to admit, mm-hmm. You know, that they were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's frustrating about the so-called crisis that we're in, you know, across the board, it seems like, because they're all fixable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's political pressure and political BS that keeps people.
Sure.
I mean, it keeps, you know, our country this way, because they're not willing to admit that, oh, you know what? Trump was right.
Right.
Right. Right.
Trump's policies did work.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, maybe
just looking
it's a good idea to
at
be,
your
you
bank
know.
Account and looking at our borders
401k.
And looking at, you know, Sleepy Joe and his best friend from China. I mean, there's just a lot of things to be concerned about. You were talking about Virginia. We are still waiting to hear on a couple of races.
Yeah.
Right now, it looks like the Republicans could hold a small majority,
mm-hmm.
But that could change depending on, I mean, it could be equally split, and that's not good.
Yeah, it's not going to be.
I mean, that's what we've got going on right now with this infrastructure bill.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia lawmakers are split right down the party lines
mm-hmm.
about
mm-hmm.
on this $1.2 trillion bill.
Mm.
Yeah,
and Tim Kaine, of course, we know where he's going to fall.
Yeah,
no doubt.
He is all about it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Even says, this has been a long time coming. We'll have a huge impact on our Commonwealth. Yeah, it will. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to have, and our children and our children's children, our right. children's children's children.
Yep.
I mean,
that sounds like something Hillary Clinton would say.
Yeah, he says, oh, we're going to upgrade our roads and bridges. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I just talked to a young man the other day. He's in his mid-20s. They want to have kids. He's been married a couple of years. And we just, you know, it opened up for the conversation. I don't normally talk politics, believe that or not. That is the case. If you bring it up, I'm more than willing to join it. I said, look, it's not me it's going to affect. And it's going to affect you some, but it's definitely going to affect your kids when you have kids. They're just going to grow up in a country that is, we pretty soon will not even be able to service the interest on the debt. Forget the debt.
Right.
Right.
It's a certain percentage of the GDP now that just goes to pay the interest on the debt.
And
it's just insane.
Republican Congressman Bob Good responded to Kane's remarks going, this is ridiculous. This is a terrible bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't have the money for it. Only 10% is truly infrastructure in his whole Build America Back bullcrap.
Right.
He says it might be a big win temporarily. And it might be a win that Biden considers that to show he's finally accomplished something.
Something, yeah.
But it is a big loss for our country, mm-hmm. and I think that's true.
And it'll take, you know, a generation or two to really see the bottom maybe fall out. I just can't help believe that the numbers are going up on our debt. When you see that clock again, that's just what we're overspending that we're taking in. If the interest rates went off 2 or 3% more. Yeah. Then we're going even more. That clock's going to run a hell of a lot faster because it's going to be interest accumulating. Right now, the interest is in check, but the debt is still growing astronomically.
Right, and with rising oil prices and
yes.
supply chain like shortages, how are we really generating, you know, so much of in our economy to even to do that? You know,
yeah. yeah.
You know, that's. I mean, what are we really basing the numbers on in the past, or where we are now, or where we're gonna be with all the things that's ahead of us that we know of? So,
yeah, it's 7:50. We're gonna take a break real quick here, Trey. Can you hang with us another segment?
Oh yeah.
All right. It's the Thursday edition of the Morning Jam.
You put it on your toast and on the radio at daybreak. The Morning Jam, 6 to 9 a.m. The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
Try to protect yourself or your family, and we will charge you with murder. And while we're at it, we'll have the national media call you racist.
In the court of public opinion, they're really arguing that white men, especially white men with a gun, are allowed and have the space to defend and protect a country and a social order that keeps them at the top, and a country that they stole from indigenous folks and built with black people's labor. The media is participating in perpetuating this charade, because as far as I can tell, the only reason why any of this is allowed is because of the whiteness of it all.
So we got Trey Watkins in the studio.
Someone needs some Valium.
I can't believe how they've turned this whole Rittenhouser trial into about keeping the white man at the top. He can go out and shoot people. Hmm. And the implication is constantly that these two victims were black. They are white. One was a sex offender.
And
pedophile.
Scum of the earth. And the other was a domestic violence.
Yeah.
Person. Yeah. I mean, they have a record as long, and one of them is on video screaming out the N-word.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, before he was shot.
Right, couldn't make this stuff up.
Completely, not okay and downplayed mm-hmm. by the lawyer.
Right.
Yeah.
How did we get here?
So I want to get a gut check from you, Trey, and you, Janet, as well, because this deliberation's been going on for over 2 days now. I mean, are they deliberating the case, or are they deliberating, do we want to be responsible for, you know, Kenosha burning again? I'm just curious.
I think that part of me thinks that they're actually deliberating the case.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other part is like, you know, it's just the reality of it. You know, they didn't sequester the jury. So they know. They can see what's mm-hmm. going on. They can hear what's going on.
Yep.
They can do their own research.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but
we see
how powerful the media is, though, mm-hmm. and how they shape the perception of what's going on and make you, you know, double.
But
you know.
Anybody, I don't care what color they are, if they're a man or a woman, anybody who is genuinely taking serious, you know, imagining if they were in that position. Mm-hmm. I believe if they truly did their research, not looking at mainstream media, but looking at what's out there, the mm-hmm. actual footage, you know, understanding who these two men were, how violent they were, mm-hmm. how it is very likely that they came after him. I just can't imagine that they're gonna come back with a verdict.
Right.
A guilty verdict.
They haven't.
How can they?
The burden of proof was on them to show that, you know, he wasn't acting in self-defense. They've done nothing to prove that he wasn't defending
right.
himself. As a matter of fact, the prosecution has almost made a better argument for the defendant than the defense lawyer has. It's
100%.
It's amazing.
And you know, guys, I don't know if you've ever served on a murder jury. I have. It just takes one person mm-hmm. to stand their ground and say, absolutely not. This right. is not going to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had that happen in my situation. There was one person who was going to let this blatant murderer go.
Right.
Yep.
And then there was, you know, me. I will tie myself to this table. Before this is going to happen.
Well, I hope this isn't the case, but
right.
that very well could be
the case
with the one black juror that's, you know, on the trial.
Right.
You know, I can't imagine the pressure that person is feeling.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Considering
what's
going on.
Uh-huh.
And when you look at how dirty the prosecution is playing this trial
mm-hmm.
and how much of the outside influence is impacting it, it's hard to imagine that they haven't done something, you know, unethical or, you know, just illegitimate with the juror, you know, and putting the pressure on them.
They are really called to step up and be very courageous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, to be able to, you know, like if you were on that jury, I'm sure you would, you know, make your choice and that's the way it is and you would stand by it. Is this juror going to be brave enough to do that?
Right.
You know,
hopefully.
I don't know.
Hopefully, because we need it. We can't afford for, I don't care, riot, do whatever they do. I mean, it's not a good thing. I don't want it to happen, but I would much rather see see Rittenhouse rightfully be acquitted, you know, and riots happen opposed to, you know, him, you know, it's... We got to uphold the law. It's already getting hard enough. And
sure.
I was reading a thing the other day and it was talking about the vaccine mandates and the courts like upheld the, the suspension from OSHA, you know, but the Biden administration is still just like insisting that they're right. And it's like, even though the courts have gone through this process
right.
and made a determination,
right.
they still are like, nah, we can still do this. They did it with the housing, thing too. So it's our laws need to be upheld.
You have to wonder if that juror is going to feel almost insulted because they are kind of couching it like it's they were black men and
right.
they simply were not. So maybe that will play in. We did get a text saying the verdict will either be a green light or a red light for future riots.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's true.
It was two black people involved in this whole case. One black juror and Al Sharpton. That was it.
Lord.
It's like there's no other black people in the whole thing.
So messed up.
Lordy. Hey, it is almost 8 o'clock. Trey Watkins, do you have a couple more minutes? I want to play a Joy Reid bit for you in the next hour. I want to get your reaction.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh,
she
boy.
Did a TikTok video, and it's...
Oh, it's terrible.
Why must you punish him this way?
I'm sorry.
Well, it's your birthday.
Hey, it's my birthday.
Get that in.
Hey, why ain't nobody tell me, man? Happy birthday, Mark.
Thank you.